We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Feels hot in here, Ron, and I have a limp microphone to start the show. I know they have medication for that, but I have not availed myself of any.
He's had that situation as well. I hope it's not.
What's going on in here,
I hope it's
Ron.
Not contagious.
They have these beautiful stickers all over the place. I'm not allowed to put the disinfecting wipes up near the bobbleheads because that'll ruin what people are watching on 93.7thefan.com. And you can do that, by the way, by going to live video on our website. The vending machine doesn't work out there. The brand new expensive vending machine.
They still owe me $2.25.
Even take my dollar
I've
yesterday.
I've been lobbying, where's my $2.25? And I keep getting, well, we're working on it.
So we have all these new things, only half of which work. But it feels like compared to all of those things, where the wipes are, the vending machine, that having a microphone for the host that actually sits up, in a way, is that the proper phrasing? So I can talk into it would be paramount.
It looks like it's okay now.
Yeah, but it drops every 5 minutes, okay. Ron. Okay. I told you there's medication out there for this, but they haven't given me that either. What's going on here, Ron? How come nothing works? How come you keep the blinds shut like that all the time? Can we get a little light in here, or do you like it that way?
I don't have anything to do with it. I come in, it was this way.
May I adjust it later in the show?
Absolutely.
It feels depressing.
Let Pompeiani do it. He'll break it.
I'm hot. Are you hot today?
No, I'm fine.
I don't.
How are
wrong.
You otherwise?
Good.
Good.
Yeah, I'm
good.
Well today. Good. Feel pretty good. We got treats left and right.
Well, thank you for asking me how I'm doing, but I mean, that's okay.
Well, I was still explaining how I'm doing. You asked me how I'm doing. I wasn't even done
yeah,
with my explanation.
Yeah, but then you started to go to the treats already.
No treats. Well, that's part of why I feel good.
Okay.
Treats.
We got treats.
How are you, Ron? Did you walk today?
Here comes Vic, right? Here he comes.
Here he comes to adjust the microphone. In the middle of the opening segment? This is unbelievable, Ron.
I did not walk today. I've been so lazy in this weather.
Vic, would you like to say hello to people? Go ahead.
Hi.
Say hello.
Hi. Good to see you all. Or hear you all.
Thank you. Thank you, Vic. Now it works. How about that, Ron?
Now you won't complain.
Just
you have nothing to complain
minor
about.
Adjustment. Yeah.
So, I'm doing great. I had a nice dinner last night.
Did you?
Went out to one of the prime steakhouses. You know, and the woman you know, Amy Winokur. Her brother owns part of the owner of the Oakland Athletics. You've met Amy.
Yes, I have.
She listens
Very
to
nice
our
lady.
Show. She
yes.
said to make sure you tell Starkey hello. I went to dinner with her and with
yes.
Mike Szymanek and his lovely wife, Michelle, the former Eloquippa coach.
Yes.
We
yes.
do it probably two or three times a year, and it was wonderful. But they all listen to the show. They all have such great respect for you. They said, you're so lucky to work with Starkey. Well, maybe they didn't say that, but... they do listen, so.
What did you order?
I had a nice steak with like...
cooked how?
A medium.
Yeah.
Nice filet. I love filet.
Do you
filet.
Use sauce on it? A little bit
well,
of A1
like,
or anything?
They had like a Cabernet sauce on
yeah.
it that was wonderful.
Mm.
So, but I had a great night, and I just wanted to say thank you to Amy and to Mike and Michelle Szymanek.
Why? Because they picked up the check? Or why are you thanking them?
Because they included me for a nice night.
What about the accoutrements, Ron, the sides? What'd you have as a side with your steak?
I had a Caesar salad, and then they got some of those au gratin potatoes.
What kind of dressing on the salad?
It was a Caesar.
Oh, so normal Caesar
yeah,
dressing.
Normal yeah, normal Caesar, but it was good.
Au gratin potatoes.
Those were delicious.
Oh, boy, do I love them.
Then I got some sort of vegetable that I didn't particularly care for because it had mushrooms. Mm. I don't like mushrooms.
I'm not a big mushroom guy either.
I don't like the texture.
Did you ever trip on mushrooms when you were a kid?
No. I never did.
Maybe you and I can do. Maybe you and I can do that someday.
Mushrooms.
You and I can go on a trip someday, Ron.
We're not tripping and tripping. I know that.
You know what we're going to do today, Ron?
We got a quarterback of the day again.
We do have a quarterback of the day.
Now, you know, we're going to run out of these pretty quickly.
No, we're not. We got college quarterbacks. We got pro quarterbacks. And if we have to, we'll go to retired quarterbacks.
I like your choice today.
Well, yesterday. Do you want to go to that right away?
Hey, whatever you want.
We could lead the show every day with that. It is the story, and it's going to be the story every single day.
It is.
Let's be honest here. The Penguins could win a cup, and the Steelers quarterback would still be just as popular a story.
Now that we know, you know, seemingly for certain that Matt Canada will be back, the only real big offensive story, the off-season story, is the quarterback.
So yesterday we chose Kirk Cousins, who has unbelievable numbers.
Put a thumbs down, though, because of the money.
Yeah, $45 million cap hit. Now, could they figure that out? I don't know. Somebody retains money. I don't know. I don't know how that would work. He would be an upgrade. But we both said thumbs down. Today's quarterback, Ron, is an interesting one. Jameis Winston. Let me give you a little resume. 28 years old, coming off ACL surgery. He's a free agent who made $5.5 million.
Very cheap for a quarterback, even a backup.
That's what he made last year, yes.
Mason is signed for like five next year.
Yes. He had 14 touchdowns and three interceptions, 102 passer rating in seven games. Career record 33-44. Record this season with the Saints, with a better team, 5-2. What do you think of this idea?
Well, I worry about the knee injury.
Yeah.
You know, again, I don't think he was always particularly the mobile quarterback that Tomlin seems to want. And he's coming off a major knee injury. But I go back a ways with Jameis. I saw him play in college because my daughter went to Florida State. And we went to a game or two and saw him play when he won the Heisman Trophy and led them to a national title. I think he won the Heisman, didn't he?
Yeah.
But she tells great stories about him. You know, he's just a kid then. You know, she said they had some class that, you know, they just got bored. The teacher said, go out on the lawn, you know, throw a football around, enjoy the sun. That's what you can do when you're at Florida State. And she said he went by on his bicycle and just stopped and then talked to everybody. This was in the national championship season. He was a pretty big man on campus, if you will. She said, Dad, he was great. He was fun to talk to. And then he had his issues, you know, the stolen crab legs. Wasn't that the one
he's had worse ones, yeah.
He's had issues. But as far as a player goes, I mean, he's thrown a lot of touchdowns, but he's thrown it to the other team a lot too.
Yes.
Not so much last year. But one thing I remember about him was when he got hurt, it was against Tampa Bay. And he played for them last year for Bruce Arians. So after the game, Bruce Arians came across the field to shake hands with Sean Payton, and the first thing he said was, how's Jameis? And Payton goes, doesn't look good, and B.A. just winced. I mean, you could tell that he liked the kid. Maybe he didn't like him throwing it to the other team so much, but he liked the kid personally, and that really ruined the Saints' season big time. What do you say, 5-2 when he got hurt?
Yeah. So a thumbs up or down on this one, Ron?
Well, he's a free agent, so you don't got to trade for him. I would say a thumbs up for him.
Me too. We agree.
Now,
we're two
know,
for two.
I don't know how much he's going to want, and I don't know if he would want to come here. But I would say, but is he as mobile as Tomlin seems to want? Is he more mobile than Mason?
People come back from ACLs. I don't think Teddy Bridgewater came back, and he can still move around. His knee got completely destroyed, so he's only 28. I'm not that worried about it. And like you said, as the old Ron Francis line, he didn't have much of a step to lose. However, he can move around. He can. I think he ran for something like 17 first downs in seven games this year. That's a fair amount. My question with him in mobility, is he the type of guy that can move around behind the line of scrimmage and make plays down the field? I don't know that he's shown that a ton in his NFL career. Like you said, he throws the ball to the other team, but he also threw for 5,000 yards under Arians, 33 touchdowns, and 30 picks. He seemed to clean that up last year. Career record, 33-44. My main worry is accuracy. The better quarterbacks these days are in the upper 60s, some even at 70% completion rate.
What was he?
He was at 59 this year. He's usually in the low 60s.
That's not real good.
He's not an accurate passer. That's an issue. But if you're telling me him or Mason, and you're still trying to win, presumably, and not going full rebuild, yes, thumbs up. I agree with you. He's only 28, and he's coming off a very reasonable season where he didn't throw it to the other team. You know what the crown jewel of his season was?
What?
Season opener, Green Bay.
Oh, he killed him. It was like 35-3 or something, right?
14 of 25 touchdowns, no picks in a blowout win.
Wow.
Mason's never had a game like that.
No, well, Mason, yeah, no, he hasn't.
Do you think Mike Tomlin will be interested in this one, or would he give it a thumbs down?
I think he would be interested. I think he'd check and see what the price tag is. Again, you don't have to give up draft choices to get them, right?
Yes.
So I would absolutely think that they would at least look into it, kick the tires, if you will.
Why not, I say, on this one? So we each give this one a thumbs up on a 28-year-old Jameis Winston. And, of course, at least for me, it's all relative. Like, under normal circumstances, you know, would I want Jameis Winston? Probably not. Would I want him if the alternative is Mason Rudolph?
Or Dwayne Haskins.
Or Haskins? Yes. Yes, I would, Ron.
We agree.
It's nice to agree at the top of the show, is it
not? We don't
not?
Do it very often, but it's okay.
It's 2 days in a row.
Once in a while, right.
It's 2 days in a row.
But then we got contentious pretty quickly, so.
Well, yesterday I read, right after we talked about Kirk Cousins, one of his former teammates, whose name I now forget, linebacker, said it's time to unleash this guy. Like, he's been constricted in Mike Zimmer's offense, and basically nobody likes Mike Zimmer anyway. Like, man, did he leave Minnesota with not many people there sounding?
Did Mike Zimmer have much hand in the offense?
Doesn't every head coach?
Yeah, well, not necessarily. He's a defensive guru. I've heard a lot of people say the Steelers should try to bring him in as a defensive coordinator. I wonder how much, you know, I mean, obviously the head coach has final say. I don't know who the offensive coordinator was there. Maybe he's the one that put a little bit of the handcuffs on Kirk Cousins.
Well, before that, it was Stefanski. But, I mean, your overall offensive philosy is going to be
designed by the head coach.
Yeah, you would think. But I think it's more than just that. It's more him rubbing people the wrong way in a big way there. And, you know, by the end, his defense was getting shredded too. You know, even by the Steelers to a certain degree.
You know, if Freiermuth hangs on to that pass, who knows?
Ugh.
That was Ben. Would you agree that might have been Ben's best pass of the year?
Yes, it was his best pass of the year.
The only other one I would say is the Freiermuth sideline pass against Baltimore.
That was nice, but NFL quarterbacks make that throw.
Yeah, but the guy was right there, and it just got by his fingertips.
Yeah,
Burrow
makes 10 throws like that a game.
The Freiermuth in Minneapolis was his best throw, I think, too.
Yeah, under the circumstances, I would agree. Jameis Winston, anyone? 412-928-9370. And here's what we're going to do next. And I'm really enjoying our quarterback of the day segment. I think we can go. How many days do you think we can go with legit quarterbacks to talk about?
5 or 6.
I think 50. I think 50. When the alternative is what they have. We're going to go deep, Ron. I got another good one for tomorrow.
Oh, it's easy to get the first week.
I know.
The challenge is after the first week.
Well, we have college guys, too.
All right.
Beggars can't be choosers here, either. Sam Darnold might make it on this list at some point.
All right.
He might.
I bet Mitch Trubisky does.
And it will be accompanied by Todd Haley's
endorsement.
Endorsement is the word I was looking for. Yes. Ron, you know what we're going to do is take one last look with our loyal listeners, millions of them, one last look at this Steelers season. I want you to put a grade on the season. I want you to tell me what kind of season it was, how we'll look back on it. And then, in true Ray Fittipaldo fashion, the carrot at the end of the tunnel.
Oh, man. Ray's never going to live that one down.
We're going to go position by position and give it a grade, our final report card. And then here's your homework assignment, Ron. Because I don't want you to be caught off guard by this. I'm going to give you a number of categories that we're going to look back on, you and I and the listeners, and we're going to fill them in and really put a bow on this season, if you don't mind. And it's going to be like this. Things like this. Best coaching move, worst coaching move of the season.
Of the Steelers season.
Best moment, worst moment. Best win, worst loss. The surprise of the season, the disappointment of the season on both the team and individual levels. Ron, we're going to dive deep on this, and I want you to be prepared.
I will be prepared.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, Ron. Let's take a final look back at the Steelers' season that was 9-7-1. They sneak in dramatically to the playoffs. They get hammered in the playoff game, so it's 9-8-1. First, let's talk in generalities. Then we'll hand out specific grades by position. How will you look back on this season?
Sounds like a
How
plan.
Would you describe it? What grade would you give it?
Probably a C, maybe a C plus. You know, they did have a above 500 record, and they did make the playoffs. They were better than, 14 other teams in the league. Pretty much mediocre, average C, I would say.
And how will you remember it? Was it a good season? Or average, as you
I would think average
it?
More than good. You know, it was memorable because of Ben's last ride.
Yes.
Some of the greatest moments, and I know we're going to talk about great moments, involved his last ride. So I will remember this, and obviously the way it finished in Baltimore and in that Sunday night game, probably a lot more than I'll remember a lot of other seasons that they've had.
It was fun because of the Ben factor and the way they got in at the end. That was a memorable day. So it was fun in some ways, memorable in some, but in the end, very average to me.
Yeah.
C.
Average is what it is.
C to a, I guess I'll give it a C because they did sneak in, but it's hard for me to separate that. Added a third wild card.
8-8-1 would have been a total perfect C, totally
right.
Mediocre. That
right.
9-7 got in. I might go C+.
Yeah.
But no better.
I might go C to C-, actually. I thought it was Mike Tomlin's worst team. Their point differential was hideous. I actually thought that luck was on their side more than not. Every team gets breaks for and against, but luck was on their side for me more than not with the way that they snuck in, with the fact that they avoided Russell Wilson for one, Lamar in a game, Derrick Henry, and the fact that the NFL instituted a permanent third wild card.
Right.
They were minus 76 in points. They got embarrassed multiple times in front of national television audiences. I factor all of that in. I think I go C-.
Let me just throw something back at you. You talked about the breaks they got, though. They never had two at all season.
Yeah.
Who maybe one of their second best defensive linemen, at least.
Right.
Ben missed one game. It happened to be against Detroit. I like to think they would have beaten Detroit with him. So, you know, they had some issues too, but I can't do better than C. I can't.
Yeah, like I said, you're always going to have breaks for and breaks right. against. I thought they got more breaks for, and they right. should have beaten Detroit with you at quarterback. That was an embarrassing, all-time embarrassing home game. To tie the Detroit Lions.
The winless Lions.
Ugh. So, yeah.
At that point,
no, I hear you.
At that point, the winless Lions.
Yes. And the winless Lions who would go on to win some games, but they also went on to lose to Horses Broncos. What was the score in that one, Horsey Boy? 38-10?
Yes.
52-29 to the Seahawks. They beat the Packers without Rodgers. That one actually contributes to making it a C- for me. But, Ron, let's grade. Let's grade away here. Let's start with the quarterback. I'm curious to hear your grading criterion and what you would give Ben. And this, of course, is in honor of our friend and yours, Ray Fittipaldo, his weekly report card in the Post-Gazette.
I would say C. Average year. He wasn't their biggest problem, but certainly he couldn't carry them through their biggest problems at this stage of his career. We've already mentioned the mobility factor. had some great moments, had some bad moments. I would say C overall.
I would say C minus. I think on some weeks, a lot of times he was their biggest problem, not necessarily in what he did and didn't do, but the fact that he is who he is at this point and can't move anymore.
Right.
And had some accuracy issues just prevents you from doing what you otherwise might be able to do. What balances that out is that late in games when they needed big throws, he did deliver multiple times. He did. But overall, I look at his season. Was it better than I expected or worse? Probably a tiny bit worse. I mean, I thought they were going to open it up a little bit. He was going to be able to get it down the field a little more. Was it the receivers, the line, or just him?
I think it was all of the yeah, above.
Probably all of the above. And the number that stands out is yards per attempt, which was horrifically low. He's down there 29th in the league, down there with the Zach Wilsons and Jared Goffs of the world. And the same with passer rating and really any other metric. He just was rarely dynamic, a dynamic difference maker.
He couldn't do that anymore. He used to be able to cover up warts.
Yes.
Now he can't.
Yes. Now sometimes
now
he is a wart.
Now he couldn't. He's
right.
Done.
He used to be, yes, exactly. He used to be a guy who erased mistakes by right. people in front of him. And now he, you know, enhanced them. You knew if you got, you know, going into a game, if I get beat as an offensive lineman, he's going to get sacked probably.
Yep.
You know?
Absolutely.
So all of that. So we're right on par with that. How about the running back situation? A grade for that?
Well, Bellage an A, but other than that, you know what? I'm giving Najee an A. He ran for 1,200 yards behind that offensive line, had a lot of catches for some yards, scored some touchdowns. I thought he did as best he could do, considering they didn't have a real passing game threat, and at the offensive line, he was hit in the backfield before he got started. I was not the least bit disappointed in him. I'm going to give him an A.
I wasn't disappointed in him at all either. I felt like the minute I saw that dude really play at Alabama that they needed to take him. And I think he proved a theory. The first part of the theory goes like this, that running backs come from all kinds of places and you can win with all kinds of running backs. That's just a fact. That's not even an opinion. But if you have a chance to get a really good one, I still think it's worth a first-round pick. And his numbers after contact prove that to me. There were games, what, the 188-yard game, where almost 100 yards, more than 100, were after contact. He proved that it isn't just about the line, that a running back can do stuff on his own. I don't think he was perfect, so I'm going to go an A-. I thought his playoff game was rough. I thought he was compromised a little bit in that game, probably bounced outside a little too much. But an A- is a pretty good grade as well, Ron. That's what I'm going with Najee. You know, the whole running game as a whole, though, are we grading the running back or the running game?
Yeah,
I guess we'll get to the line.
Again, a running game, D, probably.
Yeah.
Overall.
How about the tight end position?
I'd say B, probably. I like Freiermuth, and I like Gentry made some plays, too.
Yeah.
That I thought, I would say B-, something like that.
I would say B-. Yeah, I thought the blocking left a lot to be desired, except I thought Freiermuth got better at that as the season wore on. I do think he improved there. He also had some drops. He also had the gigantic fumble against the fighting kneecaps of Dan Campbell, if you remember that
game. I don't remember that.
In overtime, when he tried to get the extra yard, fumble along the sideline.
Now I remember that.
But overall, I'll go B, not B minus. I'll go B, and I think he's going to be a good player. But man, we are forever going to wonder if they took the right guy, because Creed Humphrey, I see more numbers coming out on that dude. He might be the best center in all of football, and they gambled on Kendrick Green, who might not even be a center. So, can you make a good pick and still have it be a mistake? I think you can, probably.
Sure. Absolutely. I think he's going to be a really fine player.
So do I.
But would an offensive lineman have helped them more? That's the
question. Yes. And I think the offensive lineman is already better at his position than Freiermuth will be at his.
Probably.
This dude is already the best center in the league. a lot of people will tell you. All right, Ron, we agree on that one. And I do like Friermuth. Okay. And are we going with Friermuth in the end or Muth?
I say Friermuth.
I'm saying Muth. I heard him say it.
Well, then that's probably the one we should go with.
But does Muth work the same as Muth? Does that work the same?
I don't think so. I don't think people care. They'll do it
You don't
way.
Think people care?
No.
They want to chant after every catch, even by Zach Gentry.
Yeah, but
Gentry.
I don't think they care. Some of them are chanting Muth and some are Muth. You know, I don't think they care what they're chanting.
There's no Muth chant. They want to chant Muth. Right, horse? That's what they want to do. And that's why it's going to stay Friermuth. All right, Ron. Let's get to the offensive line. Whew. And I base my grade on a curve on expectations with all my grades, just right. So you know. What's your grade?
I'm the same way. I'd probably, because of my expectations weren't high, I'd probably say D minus. I mean, it's easy to say F, but they had two rookies in there, one who, you know, was over his head, it looked like, at center. You didn't have Dotson most of the season, who you were counting on. The Chooks, the left tackle thing, failed miserably. I would probably say D minus, maybe.
Well,
based on expectations again. If you're talking about performance, clearly an F for me.
So what grade are you giving them?
I said a D.
A D based on curve.
Expectations.
Yeah, I would go a D. I think, like I said before, that they're hamstrung going into every game. They are, by having a statue back there. And I also agree with Chris Hoke that the RPO offense prevented them from firing off the ball in a run game because they're afraid that it's going to be a pass and they're going to get caught downfield as they were on multiple occasions. He really demonstrated that well. So I can't really give him an F. I would give him a D. A D for disastrous on a lot of occasions. And
you hope Dan Moore gets better. You hope Dotson.
A D for Dan Moore.
You hope Dotson, another D. Dotson comes back and is the player that they thought they had last year.
Do you think Kendrick Green should and will move to guard?
Ben does. I don't know, you know what they think. I don't know. He's got to get stronger somehow. I don't know how you do that. I mean, you just can't get knocked back repeatedly like he did.
How could they not see that, Ron, earlier, that this guy wasn't going to be a center? I mean, what an indictment it will be if they do move him to guard. They threw this guy in there.
Right.
He spent 10 minutes as a center in college, and you throw him into the NFL?
Had Hassenauer all year, right? And
yes.
And finally decided he was better. And
most of the year. I think he was hurt at one point, but most of the year.
I thought they played better with him, obviously.
A huge indictment, I think. And so was the Chooks experiment at left tackle, which set them back.
It did.
I mean, the whole thing. D for disaster. Yes. All right, Ron. We'll get to the receivers. And what an interesting case they were.
I got two different grades for them.
Okay. And I'll add in some of Deontay Johnson's recent tweets clapping back at fans. Have you seen this?
I have not.
I'll tell you what they are.
Oh, you can't win when you do that.
I'll tell you what they are next. You can watch live video what's going on in the studio. Look at 93.7thefan.com. Go to shows. Go to live video. Ron and I going through our final season grades for the Steelers. We're taking one last look at the season that was. And so far, the only person who's going to put this report card up on their refrigerator is Najee Harris, who got an A and an A-. A from Ron, A- from me. The only one in the A range so far, and I have a feeling we're not going to get there with this position group, Ron, the receiving core.
You know what? I thought they did relatively okay until the last 5 or 6 weeks when Deontay fell off the face of the earth for me. You know, Claypool was a major disappointment to me. Juju got hurt was a big factor in that. I would probably say a D overall. Little higher for the first 10 or 12 games, little lower for the way they finished. Just horrible in the Kansas City game. I mean, Mike Tomlin was asked, did you see some plays your receivers could have made for Ben? And he goes, you think? And the guy goes, I'm asking. He goes, yes. Very terse. He didn't like their performance at all. I would say D overall, maybe a C first 10 games, F the last 5 games.
Yeah, I mean, like a semester in school, a lot of it's weighted toward the final exam. And Deontay Johnson, for example, got an F- on the final
failed
exam.
Failed miserably.
Chase Claypool absolutely took a step back this season. That was my fear in camp. James, we need to break out the time capsule tomorrow, Ron.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
I don't want to do that.
Absolutely,
we
do.
I have a lot of them written down, so... excuse me. I forgot James Washington, too.
Disappeared.
Totally until the last game when he caught a meaningless touchdown. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I forgot about him.
Ray McLeod made a play or two, but...
Probably played better than I would have anticipated he would.
Really?
Yeah.
Not me. I thought he was awful for most of the year. He caught a bunch of two-yard passes.
Well, that's not his fault that they throw him those. It's their fault for targeting him.
Well,
maybe.
He also catches about half his targets. I mean... Yeah. I don't know. I'm not on the Ray train.
I don't remember those drops as much as you do.
Well, I'm not saying drops. I'm saying he'll be targeted, 12 times and come down with four catches for 11 yards, that type of thing.
My expectations, we're talking back on a curve again, we're not real high for Ray.
Yeah.
A lot higher
and
for
he
Deontay,
delivered pretty much.
And a lot higher for Claypool.
So what do you, okay. So
D overall.
Yeah, I go D to D minus overall because everybody failed the final. And then we get to Deontay Johnson on Twitter here. And what bothers me about him is he doesn't seem to be that bothered by the Kansas City performance. You're supposed to be a great player. You certainly are in your own opinion, right? And you come up with a performance like that in the final game, two drops, a penalty. Stops on a deep ball, and it wasn't just that. His last several games of the season, I'll read the yardage totals to you. 34, 51, 31, 51, 38. That's nothing. They were driving for the playoffs during those games, and he wasn't delivering a whole lot.
And I think he led the league in false start penalties for a receiver. I think he had like seven or eight of them. How do you do that?
Here's the thing, though. He said, basically, what's the big deal about the drops? They happen. Now he gets on Twitter and gets into it with this guy, Josh Carney, I think from the Beaver County Times and also maybe Steelers Depot. And Carney says something like, receivers on this team will never learn, just put the phone away. Deontay says, I'm rich in one of his tweets and then says, bro, get your ass off my page. And he also tweets out a picture of himself catching a touchdown in Kansas City. Deontay Johnson hit this guy with a five-piece, somebody tweets out. That's what Deontay retweets, is him getting a touchdown in a playoff game where he was their worst player? And then he says blank them about people who are giving him crap, and it just... You look like you never played a sport, goofy ass, things like that. Some funny stuff in there, but I don't think a winnable battle. But what really bothers me is he doesn't seem to be that bothered by him falling flat on his face against the Chiefs.
Again, this is tone deaf. This is just like Claypool saying they need music to keep things fun after they got killed in Minneapolis. These guys just don't have a clue. Deontay can say what he wants and think what he wants. I'm better than what they are. Who cares what they say? You can't win by tweeting it back and forth with them.
Yeah.
You just can't.
I don't mind it so much. If people can take shots at you, you take shots back at them. But, unwinnable. Yeah, it's unwinnable.
He's highly compensated, and he has a public job for scrutiny. I don't think he can take shots back. You don't have to, don't read them. Don't pay attention to them. Certainly don't care about them. You don't have to lose sleep over them. I just don't think players can win fighting back with fans.
I think if you take shots at the entire fan base, things like that, you're certainly not going to win.
You think it's okay with one guy?
Yeah, I thought a couple of them were funny. My major problem is him coming back with, look at this great TD I had in the Chiefs game. And here's a stat on against single coverage. All this stuff he's putting out since the Chiefs game. And what he said to reporters here. What I would have wanted to hear was, man, the stretch run was bad for me and that game sucked.
I got a lot to work on.
I think of myself as a number one receiver. I wasn't one in that game. I think the question to him was, what do you have to work on? And the answer should have been, if you saw the Chiefs game, I got to be big in the biggest games.
Right.
That's what I would like to hear. And then there's this, Ron. Then there's this. Troy Aikman tweeted out something. Let me see if I can get it here. Troy Aikman was on the radio, DFW ticket in Dallas, about CeeDee Lamb having only one catch against the 49ers in that playoff game. Ryan Switzer retweeted this and said, this could easily have been Ben talking. Deontay Johnson retweeted this. It's basically ripping on over-involved offensive coordinators. That's the way I read it. See what you think. Okay, this is Aikman asked about CeeDee Lamb catching only one pass in that playoff game. San Francisco rushed four guys for the most part, blitzed occasionally, but they're a four-man rush football team. A lot of times when you say that, then you think they're playing coverage. They mixed in some coverage, but there was a lot of single coverage on Lamb. I hate going back to when I was playing, Aikman says, because nobody cares. But what I see around the league, not just Dallas, I've seen it with a lot of teams. A lot of these offenses want to scheme things. The coordinators, it's all about scheme rather than, quote, this corner is playing soft. He's scared to death. Just run the route tree, run a comeback, run a dig, run a curl, run anything, Aikman says. You're going to complete the pass whenever you want. Michael Irvin would have had 10 catches at halftime if they played us the way they played Lamb. The game is not that difficult. If I've got a great player at receiver and the corner is playing him single coverage, throw him the ball. He's going to win most of the time. Switzer said that could easily have been Ben talking. What does that tell you? And Deontay Johnson retweeted it. What does that tell you?
Yeah, I think it makes perfect sense to me. I do think these guys try to scheme things. And, you know, we've seen not just the Steelers. We see, you know, Stefanski in Cleveland. Mac runs for 40 yards and then they throw it four times in a row. You know, I don't know if they try to justify their existence or think they're smarter than the other guy. I think sometimes they defeat their own purpose, and I think that some truth to that about Canada.
I think there is too. I mean,
not just Canada, but a lot of them.
But for our purposes, Canada.
For Canada, right.
Right, because he had a veteran quarterback who wanted to do things his own way.
It's interesting that Switzer retweeted that because he and Ben are very tight.
And even more that Deontay's still going to be on the team and retweeted it. It's clearly an indictment of over-scheming, in love with themselves coordinators. That's what it's an indictment of. And he endorsed it.
I know. That's exactly right. I agree with Aikman.
And it gets to the point of Jerry Dulac's tweets and opinions about how Ben was handcuffed in this offense. And how Ben clearly felt like he was handcuffed this year. I think that's obvious. Do you?
Especially going back to the beginning. We only got 10 no-huddle plays, you know. I mean, going all the way back then.
It's really interesting.
But he doesn't have to deal with it anymore. Now it's Mason who
said Deontay does, though.
Mason says he'll totally surrender. Use the word surrender, I think, to whatever Canada wants.
And you could make the argument. You could. It's really tough to know the truth, but you could make the argument that Ben saved Canada's ass in those games by pulling out games late, by doing whatever he wanted.
Right.
Whether it was via the RPO, like in Buffalo, which is normal. You give your veteran quarterback. Or whether it was saying, screw it, we're down by 28. I'm just going to wing it around the field. You know?
Right.
Now, so for me, I could easily picture this, like Ed Bouchette said yesterday, getting worse overall and particularly worse with an offense where they're going to really hand it to the coordinator and say, scheme our way to a win. You have a completely subservient quarterback here in Mason Rudolph. You know, I can picture it getting so ugly, Ron. I can. Already their best receiver thinks that you have an overindulgent coordinator.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what Canada can do. Is he going to be better if he has a little more of a mobile quarterback? Is Mason good enough to get it done? Again, though, you know, we're going to do a quarterback a day. I don't think it's going to be Mason. I think maybe next year it will be, but I still think they're going to have somebody else in here.
Did you see Pomp stole my idea? Did you see that?
If they get a veteran in here, it won't be Mason. Who? What did he say?
He says he's in favor of Mitch Trubisky. Oh, he stole that, Ron, and now he's going to get all the credit.
Because he's much more popular and well-known than you are.
Yes, exactly.
That's horrible.
I know, and they got all kinds of retweets on that. What if Mitch Trubisky comes in here and saves the Steelers, Ron? What if he does? Leads them to 10 Super Bowls, more than Brady. We have a treat coming up here at 11. I don't think we've done enough to commemorate Jim Colony's retirement. He's been around here forever, Ron.
One of the originals. One of the originals.
We're going to talk to him next. Maybe we'll gear the conversation toward his career. I don't know, wherever you want it to go, wherever I want it to go, wherever Jim wants it to go. He announced his retirement the other day. He's still going to be involved. He's going to host some shows. He'll still be around. You'll hear his voice, but he won't be an everyday presence. We're going to talk to Dr. Jim Colony next. Century 3 Chevy knows we're living in unprecedented times and wants to help. Century 3 Chevy is going to give you $3,000. You heard that right. Century 3 Chevy is going to give you $3,000. Simply push, pull, or even tow your vehicle to Century 3 Chevy and collect your $3,000. Find new roads at century3chevy.com. That's century3chevy.com for a limited time only, and you must purchase a new or used car. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet Route 19 in the South Hills. Start the new year off with a great deal. A little bit of sun today, maybe a flurry, high of 26 tonight, down to 6, not 26, 6. Tomorrow, a high of 20. It's Cook and Joe, Jim Colony, freshly retired. Actually, tomorrow's the official day. He'll join us next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.